talk to me a little bit about your clientele.
We do have a lot of our locals. They're loyal and regular. But we have a lot of our RV park is full of guys with families back home that are up here working. We had just last week, in fact, one Tuesday, we said we did not have a single woman customer all day, like at all. Men, and a lot of them are, you know, that 30 to 50 age, I'd say, that they're, you know, younger guys.
Alone,
yeah, with their, it's...
May or may not have a family back home.
Right, most of them are sending money back home. They're just up here working and they're, you know, go home on their holidays or whatever.
Do you find that those guys are out carousing and partying, or are they pretty much go to work, go home, send money at the end of the month, end of the week, whatever it might be?
That's what it is. There's such an, you know, it used to be that, you know, oil field guys, you'd think they're at the bar after work, which maybe we don't get the guys that go to the bar after work, but the guys that we get, they come in here and they maybe they'll have a beer with their dinner, but they're not, they'll sit here, they'll play video games on their phone with my kids, or they'll, you know, talk sports with the older ones, and they got kids and family back home, and so our children being here, it's a family business, our kids kind of fill that void of the, you know, everybody's got a kid one of my kids' age, and so they kind of, but they're here, you know, visiting with the children or shooting baskets out back, or they're not, you know, for the most part, I haven't seen a lot of wild, crazy, carousing guys.
Do you feel that your family and your establishment has become a surrogate family for many of these?
That's exactly what it is. It's really neat. I never would have dreamed that when we opened. I thought the kids, it being a family business, the kids are here working and helping out. But they also know which guys have Angry Birds on their iPhone, and they will run up and greet them with a hug and sit next to them at the bar and, you know, cover their phone with sticky little fingerprints playing Angry Birds. And these guys let them, and they love it. And so they have kind of become like a family to us. So
you've mentioned your kids several times. Talk to me about how your kids are involved with your business.
I have 5 children. They're 13, 11, 9, 6, and 4. And before we bought the cafe, we made it a family decision because we knew that this is going to be taking up a lot of time. And so we made sure everybody was on board. And the kids all, you know, voted. One voted against it, and she reminds us of that. But but everybody else voted in favor of it. And so they all take their turn, you know, waiting tables or doing dishes or helping with kitchen prep work and stuff. When we first opened, the kids were the only waiters. I was a cook. But since then, our business has just boomed, and we can't keep up with just us. So we've hired a lot of help. And
I was going to ask you, I noticed you had several waitresses during the lunch shift here at the Farmer's Daughters Cafe in South Hart. How many staff do you have, or what was the max so far? If you started out with you and your kids running the place, how many at now?
Right now we have 15 employees, one full-time, the rest are part-time. We do, you know, families first, so a lot of ladies work, you know, one day a week or two sometimes. They'll rotate around if they've got family coming up to visit or if they want to, you know, vacation somewhere. And so I've been very lucky. I haven't had a hard time finding help or keeping them, so we're fortunate that way.
Talk to me about April 22nd, 2012.
April 22nd, it was my daughter's first communion. We were headed home after church, and it was a one day in North Dakota, there was no wind. So the county had just graded the road, and there was a lot of dust with oil field. We live north of town, and that's kind of the heart of the oil field country right there. And I met an oil field truck at the top of the road, or at the top of the hill, and was blinded by dust. And so as I was going down into the hill, you know, slowing down, there was a truck parked waiting for the dust to clear so he could turn. And I didn't see him. I was, you know, 2 feet away from him when the haze started to lower, and I could see that there was a tanker. And so I, you know, swerved for the ditch. I ended up with, I don't remember how many broken ribs, you know, my lung collapsed. Broke my wrist, broke my shoulder, broke a vertebrae, my foot, my knee, but my kids were all with me, and they were all relatively unscathed. There was minor injuries, so we were very lucky that way, so.
And what was the extent of timing on that? Or what was the timing on that particular injury? This was after you bought the cafe?
That was, yeah, we opened in February, so 3 months, you know, April. It was that week of my car accident was a crazy busy week. we had so many people that people had just finally started hearing about us. And so we, you know, that was, I remember the night before the accident was our busiest night ever. And we had so many people from Dickinson saying, oh, I just, this is our first time out here. And, you know, we're so excited you exist. And so, you know.
Did you have to close?
We did close. I was in a wheelchair for 3 months. When I was in the hospital for like 10 days or something, and they said I'd have to spend 3 months in a nursing home. And so I spent 10 days until my husband got my wheelchair ramp built to our house. And then I moved back home. But it was, you know, we did close for the summer. We reopened in August, and, you know, we were afraid. We were afraid it would kill business. I mean, you know, here we are. We put all the money into advertising up front and then closed for 3 months. So
how long had you been opened?
It had been 3 months only.
Three months
we were open, and then we closed for three. So
during the busiest time.
During the busiest, you know.
The oil season.
Yeah, it was. I mean, we missed, you know, all summer. It was August. We closed, you know, we were averaging, I think, 70 people a day. And when we reopened in August, it was like 140 on a slow day. And it was just, I mean, you know, so we were like, wow, you know.
Mm-hmm. What was it like for the healthcare and the medical out here in Western North Dakota? You hear stories about emergency response time. You hear stories about being so far away from medical facilities. What was your experiences being in a horrific accident in the oil patch?
You'll edit things out that are not appropriate, right? Or okay. For me personally, I hit this truck, and my 11-year-old son is sitting up front. And a couple years ago, there was those DSU girls that had, you know, they crashed into a stock pond, and there was this talk about how instead of calling 911, they panicked and called friends. And so when that had come around, I had talked to the kids about the importance of, you know, if we're ever in an accident and I can't help, you know, call 911, don't call grandma. And so, and then we had talked about, you know, and if I'm pinned in the car or something, you know, you get the little kids out, you know. So I hit this truck, and before I can even come to completely, you know, I was kind of dazed, and my 11-year-old's up front, well, he was 10 at the time, and he's scrambling around, and I'm looking at him trying to figure out what he's doing, and he was searching for a cell phone. Well, my cell phone was shattered, it was in the cup holder, and so he tried to get out while the car, the frame had kind of like buckled up, so he couldn't get out the back seat, and his door was crushed, so he couldn't open his door. So he kicked his window out, and he jumped out, and he ran to stop this truck that I had hit. You know, he made his left-hand turn, and so he gets out in the ditch, and he ran in front of the truck, and he's waving and screaming and yelling, you know, stop, stop, mom's hurt, she needs help. Well, the truck stopped, but he wouldn't open his window or anything, and he jumped up on the running board of the truck, and he was like, help, help, mom needs help, call 911, and the guy, like, turned his head away from him. So my son gets down, and I'm watching this, and I see this kid just dazed, like, what do I do now? And he come running back over, and he's, you know, in tears, and he said, I tried to get him to call 911, and he ignored me. And so I'm like, don't worry, it's fine. Well, in the meantime, my older, he was 12, 12-year-old was getting the kids out of the car. At that moment, there was a crew of Patterson rig driller, you know, they were on rig move, and so these guys stopped. They saw the accident, they seen. And so by the time they, you know, got up to us, then one called 911 right away. And I heard him talking, and he said, you know, there's five kids, the driver's dead, and so I'm listening to this, and I'm thinking, I swear I just talked to the kids, but.
Did you wonder if you were dead?
I did. I was thinking, well, God, I swear I was just talking to the kids. And then I thought, well, maybe it was like, you know, divine intervention. I wasn't really, you know. So then I'm sitting there. Well, then I heard him say, I don't know where we are. We left Watford City this morning, so we're somewhere south of Watford. And I'm thinking, I'm screwed, you know. Well, then my 12-year-old said, we're north of South Hart. We're like 3 miles north. Well, then he told him that, and he said, I don't know. I don't see a street sign. Well, then I pointed, and I said, there's a street sign right there. Well, the other guy said, you know, oh, the driver's not dead, but he didn't relay that into the phone. So when the ambulance crew, you know, the call that went out was that there was a driver was dead and that there was five kids injured. And so when the first ambulance pulled up, they went for the kids, and then finally they were like, no, wait, she's not. But then they had to wait for the jaws of life to come. And so that was, you know, rural North Dakota.
Yeah.
You know, they're volunteers. It was the rural fire department. So, you know, it was a good 20 minutes, half hour, you know, waiting for them to arrive. So
you were pinned in your vehicle?
I was pinned in my vehicle, and this Patterson crew, which they ended up on a rig south of Southard after we reopened, so I got to meet them and thank them for their help. I should have connected that they were roughnecks. I was thinking truck drivers at the time. They didn't tell me. But this Patterson crew, they said, you know, I said, I'm stuck, you know, and they were like, I got a jack and a crowbar. We're going to get you out. And I was like, oh, dear God, no, please leave me. And they you know, they cut my seatbelt and they took the door off and then they were going to try. And the one said, I used to be an EMT. And I said, well, then, you know, not to touch me. And so then they were like, okay, we'll stop, you know, and because I was just like, no. And but then they were great. They called, you know, my husband and some, if they called, we had a neighbor that lived close by that came and sat with the kids. And so I put them to work doing busy work, you know, and they laughed because they came back in. I was very calm. I mean, I'm a mom. You stay calm in an emergency. And they were freaking out. And I guess they told me afterwards that I, you know, told them, shut the hell up. You're scaring my kids. Sit there and be quiet. If you can, you know. And so then they were very helpful. My one son was knocked unconscious. And so they had carefully, you know, lifted him out of the car and took him out because we were in the middle of the road. And so they laid him in the ditch and, you know, until help came. So
it's remarkable that the kids were virtually.
They really were. They seatbelts, you know, the one that got knocked unconscious, he was in a booster seat and he had his arm above the seatbelt instead of, you know, under the strap or whatever, mm-hmm. on the booster seat. And so, you know, he flew forward more than he would have. My oldest one was in back. He also had his arm over his seatbelt. He ended up with a bruised rib and a bruised lung. But my 10-year-old that, you know, kicked the window out, he fell on his elbow when he got out, and so they thought he broke it, but it was just sprained. Mm-hmm. But that was his only injury, and the girls just had seatbelt injuries, and so they were, yeah.
And you had so many broken bones, a collapsed lung. You ended up in a wheelchair.
I ended up in a wheelchair. You know, I was 10 days laying in a bed at St. A's and with a neck brace thing on because I, you know, broke part of the vertebrae, and then, you know, it was... You know, I was about 2.5 months in a wheelchair and then on crutches for, mm-hmm. you know, 3 months. And it was a long haul. It was, but.
You grew up here?
I did. I'm born and raised Southard.
And here you got into an auto accident.
Yeah.
Talk to me a little bit about growing up, driving in this area and driving now. And even now that you've been in an accident, what do you feel like when you're on those roads?
Well, you know, honestly, I mean, growing up, obviously, I'm 33 years old, so the traffic, you know, if you met a car on your way home, it was, you know, the neighbor, and he knew you were coming, it's compared to now when it's rare to not meet three trucks in a mile, you know, it's totally different. It's scary. I mean, I grew up south of Southard. We actually, ironically, there was talks about a coal mine going in south of town, and one of the things when we were, you know, the neighbors didn't want to see this happen, and when we were fighting it, one of the things we brought up was this truck traffic and the dangers of the road. And so, ironically, I was the leader of this whole coal battle, and then here, you know, oil gets me. But you know, the roads, I mean, it's, you know, there, you always had the dust, but it was somebody's tractor. You know, it wasn't like now where these, you know, 18-wheelers and, you know, they're going with some speed down the road. Every wheel kicks up this huge cloud. I mean, it's crazy. It's dangerous. And I honestly, it's going to be a long time before I let my kids drive on those roads because mm-hmm. it's not the same as when we grew up. So.